This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Junks, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of The Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com. You can join their team today. Right now, we're very happy to be joined on the BetQL guest hotline by Gary Williams, Maryland legend, former Terps head coach. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Good. It's a big day for Maryland today, obviously.
Yeah, Kevin Willard will be introduced as the next Terrapins head coach. How involved were you with the search? What sort of input did you have that led to Kevin Willard being hired?
Well, I think all athletic directors today, the thing they do is they hire a search firm. I mean, that's just part of the deal now. And the president of the university, Dr. Pines, and Damon Evans, the athletic director, that's their responsibility to hire the new coach. I was talked to by Damon a few times about the various names that came up and gave my opinion, and I think they did a great job in getting Kevin Willard.
You know, Coach, I don't know that you realize this, but you kind of ruined it for everybody because you had so much success there. You knocked off so many number ones. You went to the back-to-back Final Fours. You won a national title. You did all that. And, you know, you had this unbelievable rivalry with Duke and even North Carolina. And then a guy like Turge comes in. And when you look at it, like, just from a numbers thing, I mean, Turge is a very successful one. Like, 66% of his games. Went to the tournament five, six times. Would have gone in 20 if it weren't for COVID. But you set the bar so high, no one can meet your standard there.
Nah, that's not true. I think as a university, we have the resources and the assets, especially that's the one thing about going to the Big Ten financially. It's a tremendous difference than the financial package, the ACC right now, the Big Ten Network, all the football stuff in the Big Ten certainly does that. And I think you saw it in the hire. What Maryland can do, and that's what you have to do. You know, you look at the Southeast Conference, you look at the Big 12 now, all of a sudden their basketball conference is as good as any conference in basketball in the country, and you have to go after those guys, and you have to do what they do in order to, you know, both those conferences have attracted really good coaches, and you know, that's the important thing now is to put yourself on a level playing field where you can go play those people, and then good things happen. You know, you can get to Sweet 16s. You can get past that. And, you know, there's some luck involved. Any NCAA tournament, you're seeing it this year. One bad game, and, you know, you go home even though you've been so good all year. So, but you want to get there, and then if you're good enough, you sustain it through the six-game period.
What have you heard about his staff? Because, obviously, putting together a staff is very important. I've heard just through the grapevine that he possibly is looking at Tony Skinn, who coached with him at Seton Hall, who was at Ohio State for the last 3 years. Of course, Tony played at George Mason here under Coach L. Have you heard about any of that? Because it's going to be important to put together a staff that has kind of a recruiting edge here in the DMV, especially in the WCAC.
Yeah, I think the WCAC, all of a sudden, if you talk to coaches around the country, they feel that's as good a high school league as there is in the country. So that becomes very important. Tony Skins also has an AAU background in D.C. So I think that checks a lot of boxes if that is the case. Haven't heard anything definite on that yet. And, you know, the connection to Maryland is important. I think, to be honest, one of the things that hurt Mark a little bit was there was no connection, you know, with former players or whatever. And you look at some staffs like Carolina, Syracuse, they have all former players. Duke is another example. They have all former players on their staff. So it'll be interesting what happens as time goes on with the staff. But that is, you know, Kevin understands that. He's been a head coach now, both at Iona and Seton Hall. He understands the importance of the staff and how the staff fits for a particular job. It's not just hiring really good basketball guys as assistant coaches, but do they fit into what you're dealing with in your particular situation?
Yeah, that example you brought up about the former player, that's why I keep bringing up Dwayne Simpkins' name, who's at Mason now, who, of course, was a player for you. I'm just wondering if Willard will reach out to him.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because Dwayne obviously played for Morgan Moten, played for me. Mm-hmm. Was really a good point guard for us. That team with Joe Smith, Keith Booth, X-Ray Hip, Johnny Rhodes, and Dwayne as a starting five got us going in 94. And, you know, Dwayne has paid his dues. There's no doubt about it. And he's a good basketball mind and obviously knows the area as well as anyone.
Coach, I don't know if you know what the greatest strengths are, but maybe you can fill us in. You know, coaching, there's so much parts of it. There's recruiting, there's X's and O's, motivation. What are the strengths of Willard?
His work ethic. I've watched him over the years. You know, I read some of the things Jay Wright said about Kevin Willard, and I really agree. He brings it every day to practice, to the games, and his teams reflect that. They really work hard. One thing you can be pretty consistent at is your defense. Some days the ball doesn't go in offensively. You know, you just don't have it offensively. But you can still win games based on how hard you work in your defense. And I think he brings that that ethic into a program. And I think players appreciate that. They appreciate coaches that they know they're with them grinding. You ask players to grind hard every day, and if they know the coaches, then they respect that. And I think that's a strength that Kevin definitely brings.
All right. Let's get into some of these matchups. Obviously, the big story, one of the big story, probably the biggest story of the tournament is Coach K. And they're going to play Texas Tech on Thursday night in San Francisco. And obviously, Duke has got a young team. This is the first time that most of his players have actually played an NCAA tournament because of the last couple of years of the COVID issues. And I don't know. Do you have a rooting interest in this game because it's Coach K's last tournament and you had such a rivalry with him? And what do you think about the matchup against Texas Tech?
Well, Texas Tech is good. I thought before the tournament they could play with anybody in the tournament. They didn't play particularly well in their last game, but you know they got by. And if you watch a team that goes a long way in the tournament, most of them have a scare somewhere early on in the tournament. And so, but Duke is, I mean, they have four first round draft choices on their team. I mean, nobody's more talented they are. And this, in the one and done era, is there young teams? You know, young teams seem to have great players. You know, Kentucky's made a living on that, not this year, but up until this year, having, you know, really young players might stay a year and then bring in new young players. And I think Duke is in that situation right now. So sure, they're young, but they've got a couple NCAA tournament games under their belt now. And when they play, Duke is as good as anybody, and they're going to be a very tough out in the NCAA. And, you know, obviously for Coach K, he'd like to go out with the championship, that's for sure. So you can tell just watching their last game, he's really into it, really intense there on the sideline.
Yeah, I really want to see the Gonzaga-Duke rematch. I'm not sure what you're kind of pulling for, but it was such a fun game to watch back in. I don't know if that was that December when they played. It was a while ago.
That's what happens. You know, you get into the NCAA tournament, you try to look back and see what. And you know, both those teams are different. You change from December to March. There's no doubt about it. But you look at the Arizona team. I really like that team. In terms of how they play, their length, and they just play hard. It seems like both offensively and defensively, they push the ball. They're tough. But the other team out there, and if they both won, they would meet each other. Is Houston?
Right.
Houston. Nobody wants to play Houston.
Mm-mm.
I mean, if you play Houston on Friday, but Sunday you're still hurting from the game. I mean, those guys. It's hard to rebound against them. It's hard to score. Everything's just hard when you play Houston. And I think, you know, Arizona-Houston would be a great matchup.
Talking to the legend, Gary Williams, former Maryland basketball coach, of course, brought a national championship to Maryland. I'm wondering, you know, a lot of people made a lot of that scene with Sampson taking his shirt off and partying. What was the craziest scene during the Gary Williams era that we didn't get to watch on camera?
Crazy. Well, you know, I don't dance, so coach is a dance now. That just, you know, come on. But you know, Kelvin was all happy after that, and that's good. And you know, I got water poured on me quite a few times, and I think some guys made sure it was really cold, maybe hoping I'd have a heart attack. you know, throwing the water on me, but. You know, things like that were great. I remember, you know, Wilcox, Chris Wilcox on the championship team. He always liked to mess up my hair after a win. That was his goal, you know, when you get your hands together in the locker room after a game. And, you know, Chris at 6'9", 250, I wasn't going to argue with him. That was okay as long as he played well.
I'd imagine Grievous probably did some stuff to you.
Grievous, he's another one. He was crazy. He'd come in the locker room after a win, and he would just go off. And part of it was in Spanish. I didn't know what he was saying. You know, he just go. You know, he just and like it was great. He was one of the people that every day in practice, he was just so happy to be able to practice in a nice gym that he just made us better because he was like a game every day for him.
Where is Grievous?
He's a coach now.
Now.
I think he's in coaching. G League.
No, he got out of that. He was in India last week doing some PR stuff or whatever, but he's still tight with Venezuela. He lives in Miami. He's got a couple kids and he's doing well. I talk to him once in a while.
Coach Williams, how great was it seeing all those guys for the 20-year reunion all back at Xfinity just a few weeks ago during the Ohio State game?
Yeah, that was incredible. All those guys came back. You know, and 20 years later, that's hard to do to get everybody because they all have their own families and, you know, jobs, all those things. And when they get back, and I was wondering about that, it was like from the moment they all got together, they were back in the locker room.
Yeah.
You know, it was like this guy is, you know, he's slow. This guy can't jump, you know, that. And they were just killing each other. You know, and here they are. They're 42, 43 years old now, and they're all kids once they get together. And it was just great for me personally to see those guys because they worked really hard. And you know, they had to overcome losing in 2001 at the Final Four to get back. And you don't see many teams, you know, get back to Final Fours other than Gonzaga right now. So, I was really glad that they could get together, and we had a great time. And you know that was important to me.
Gary, so the Purdue St. Peter's game, which will be on Friday, just after 7, will be interesting because obviously St. Peter's is that 15 seed, knocking off Kentucky and Murray State, getting to the Sweet 16. And you've seen a couple of 15 seeds of back to back years have success. Oral Roberts last year, but. Going against Purdue, Purdue is huge. Zach Edey is just a huge human being. St. Peter's probably, I don't know, their bigs are probably 6'7", 6'8". But they're playing with moxie. They're fearless, kind of like their coach.
Plus, Ivy's a freak.
Ivy's a freak for
He's
Purdue.
He's like Stevie Franchise
he'll
freak.
He'll be a top 10 pick. But do you give St. Peter's a chance against Purdue?
Well, I didn't give them a chance so far in either game they won. And so you have to give them a chance because, like you guys said, they've got a couple guys that can play. And, you know, Holloway, their coach, made the point that, you know, kids from that New York, Jersey, metropolitan New York City area, they just ball. You know, that's what they do. You know, they play every day. They play competitively every day. They fight if they have to on the playground. I mean, it's just a different mindset a lot of times for those guys. And they don't care if they're playing Purdue. I mean, they played Kentucky. Right. You know, and anybody that picked St. Peter's over Kentucky, they must have liked the color of St. Peter's uniform.
Right.
Because you can't do that. You can't do that. I mean, if it was a pickup game, you know, Kentucky's guys would be picked first. And so it's amazing what they've done. And to their credit, you know, they're once you get that confidence going, you're riding that wave right now.
Coach Williams, great catching up with you. We'll have to have you on again soon. And the weather's getting warmer. I'm guessing you're out on the golf course. You're hitting that little whitey around. So good luck with that as the weather improves.
Are you going to play today, Coach?
I'm going to try to hit some balls today. They, you know, it's amazing that little white ball, it doesn't go as far. And I heard the golf balls were a lot better nowadays, but it just doesn't go as far.
You can't tell?
That's absolutely true.
Are you moving up tees, Coach?
Yes, I am, and I'm proud of that.
Any
advantage you can, especially, yep. You know, when it comes to paying at the end of 18, you want to take advantage of every situation.
Yeah, of course.
Certainly. Of course. Coach Williams, right. Thanks as always. We'll talk to you
again
soon.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate it.
Thanks, you guys. Continued success.
Thank you. We always appreciate your support.
Thanks for giving us the time, man.
Gary Williams talking some Maryland basketball and some NCAA tournament. Continuing coverage of the tournament is presented by Insperity. Business owners, are HR issues boxing you in? Expand your possibilities at Insperity.com.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back to Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Going to get back into quarterback talk.
Uh-uh.
It's been so long.
No, we're not.
We're getting back into quarterback talk.
Oh, okay.
Where's Baker Mayfield land?
All right.
That's a huge question mark at this point.
I don't know, man.
Are the Colts better with Matt Ryan instead of Carson Wentz?
Yes.
These are questions you have to ask yourself.
I think so.
Heading into the season.
Although Carson Wentz had better numbers than Matt Ryan last year. If you just look at last year, right. I believe Matt Ryan had 20 touchdowns, 12 picks.
Now,
okay,
Carson was
27-7. Calvin Ridley was out for the whole year, pretty much.
And no Julio Jones.
No Julio
Jones. So he's throwing the ball.
He just threw it to Patterson.
Yeah. Pitts had a really nice rookie campaign as a tight end. Russell Gage. I mean, Olamide, Zaccheaus. I mean, just guys that you wouldn't recognize down the street.
I thought the quarterback news you were going to get into, and this just deserves a brief mention,
yeah,
is Tom Brady was throwing yesterday to Julian Edelman. He had one of his workouts with a bunch of receivers, and Julian Edelman was one. So now there's that speculation.
Is that the scuttle that he's going to come back?
Did he last play? Like 2 years ago?
That old fossil with a creaky neck. He's not coming back.
Hey, he likes bringing the bay. He likes Gronk being there. Edelman.
I would be shocked if he came back.
I don't think he's... I mean, he's probably like mid-30s.
Yeah, but he had injury issues toward the end of his career. Like, I'd be stunned if he came back.
As a slot receiver?
I mean, they just gave Russell Gage like $30 million.
Why don't they just sign Cole Beasley?
Yeah, I think Beasley.
That's one of his guys. He likes having his guys.
I just think he's out there working out just because he's a workout.
Beasley's good.
Yeah. He's okay with guys like Mike Evans and Chris Godwin that weren't really his guys before he wound up at Tampa.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
And you can
rather throw to those guys than some sawed off runt like Julian Edelman.
As for Baker, I don't know if he's going to have to steal something I saw on TV. He might not have a taker.
No, I think I mean, unless, he might not have a starting taper.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's quite correct. A fall from grace if that's
and,
the case.
And he could just stay in Cleveland.
And be Deshaun's back. Like, I don't think they can. There's no
that
way.
That would be very awkward.
Hold on, $18 million to pay him or whatever, and then what are they paying Deshaun?
Well, in year one, he's not getting paid a ton, but he's making $46 million per season after that.
But and they just signed wise.
Right. Yeah. They signed Brissett. I thought you just said you just move your pencil around, fit them all in.
Yeah. You could, but it wouldn't make any sense, though. It just wouldn't make sense. Well, you can just move.
They're
going to
do
around.
Everything in their power to get to trade him.
They already have Brissett as the backup.
What is their cap hit if they just cut him?
They're going to get nothing.
What is their
for
cap
him?
Hit if they just cut him? Is it $18 million?
Yeah, they franchised him. Or they picked up the, I mean, no, they picked franchised up the fifth year option. So, yeah.
So someone has to pick him up somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, they could trade him and chop it, probably.
Take a large share of it.
You wouldn't want him in Seattle?
You would want him over...
Drew Lock.
Over Drew Lock. He's just more accomplished. He just is.
No, yeah, I mean, of course, but I don't think Baker Mayfield's probably not the future.
Their dead cap would be the exact amount of his deal.
I don't have any expectations for the Seahawks this year, so I don't really care who the quarterback is.
Are you punching out? You're punching out
No, about size.
If I'm the Giants...
You're excited for a rebuild?
I love rebuilds.
If I'm the Giants, I'm a new head coach, right? I'm Brian
terrible,
Dable.
Trust me.
I'm not necessarily married to Daniel Jones.
No, that's not your guy, yeah.
Why wouldn't I bring in Baker Mayfield and see who's better?
I mean, you're gonna take an $18.5 million flyer on Baker Mayfield? Thank you.
What's Daniel Jones' contract?
Yeah,
situation?
But if you end
up,
the Browns are ready to dump him, right? So let's say you can get him for half the price. Right. The Browns take half, and you take
if
half.
If you like him, maybe.
Is it worth it?
I think Jones
take a look-see.
Last year of his deal. Like they picked.
So they picked up his fifth
they picked
year.
Up his last year option.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like I'm just thinking of places. Like, I don't know where he's gonna end up. Is Matt Rhule going to roll the dice with him? He's already rolled the dice with.
Maybe that is
no,
a
no.
Lot.
But I think
Sam Darnold.
I think that the story that we read yesterday that Jimmy G and the 49ers have received two second round pick offers for
That's
him.
That's what John Lynch is saying.
Okay,
well, what if he's bluffing?
I mean, I would think the two second rounders probably is adequate.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, and if you want them, I think you're probably going to have to give up two. Maybe a second and a third. I don't know.
Makes sense that it would be Carolina.
It makes sense for Carolina, yeah.
Because
unless they're just looking at the draft and going, all right, we got the sixth pick and we're looking at Pickett or Willis or whoever.
Because they rolled the dice with Sam Darnold. I mean, he can't play. He was way overdrafted when he was selected. They took a chance on him. Didn't work out. Now they have to move on to the next. Kind of like Washington, if Carson Wentz doesn't work out, they're going to have to move on to the next, whether it's another veteran or you pick a quarterback in 2023. That's
where
what they're
are
looking
you, Cakes,
at.
On, I think you're with me on Kent's Carson working out. I'm 60-40 on him working out.
I don't know if I'm that bullish. I'm probably 55-45.
All right, you're 55-45 on it working
ish.
Out.
Sliding
well,
back
what's,
towards the
what's working out?
But here for multiple years.
Yeah. Okay, so he plays well enough. He plays well enough that they want to pick up the option for 23.
Yeah, I think it's 60-40.
Ron, trust me, Ron is praying to the big man that happens. Right. That he's the long-term solution.
He surveyed the landscape and saw of who he could get, and he was the best one. He could get.
It's only the biggest personnel move of his tenure here so far.
Right, and he didn't want to roll the dice and be forced to play Kenny Pickett and his deformed thumbs.
That's correct.
Don't you think if the Giants get Baker somehow, they have just as good of a shot at the playoffs as the Eagles and Commanders?
Sure.
Why? Because you think,
I mean, they're just all kind of the same.
You think Baker's markedly better than Daniel Jones?
Yes.
You do?
You can trust him much more. He's taken teams to the playoffs. He's won playoff games. Daniel Jones, they can't wait for him to get out the door, I'm guessing, at this point.
I'm kind of buying into the fact that Brian Daboll is a quarterback whisperer, and maybe, and again, I'm not saying this is going to happen, maybe he turns Daniel Jones into a poor man's Josh Allen.
Isn't that what we heard from Frank Reich was the quarterback whisperer for Carson Wentz?
I'm just saying that's...
Everybody's a whisperer.
I'm saying that is the most optimistic in the range of outcomes for Daniel Jones. I think he's terrible, but
I think Baker's had two really good years, but he's had two bad years.
Right.
And his knock, you were about to say, is turnovers.
God,
Daniel Jones is a turnover guy. It's like
well, that's
same
what I'm saying,
thing.
Jones.
Oh, I think Baker's that way too.
Jones just loves to fumble the ball.
He loves to turn the ball over.
He just
loves to have the ball in his possession and then just hand it over to the other team.
You know who doesn't do that very often?
Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz.
Well, that's not true. He had a lot of fumbles last year.
Okay.
He did.
But in terms
of... Let me see how many he had. He had, I think he had maybe six or seven.
Okay. But in terms of throwing it to the other team, he tends to do that fewer than all these other guys.
But he has some mind-bending picks.
Yeah, sure.
Picks that make you look at him and go,
yeah,
can we really trust this guy? Can we entrust the franchise to this guy?
You would think you could coach some of that out of him.
I would hope Scott Turner is able to do that.
Yeah.
By the way, Leonard Fournette just re-signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, they're going to bring the guys back together.
I never thought I would say this ever about Leonard Fournette ever again. He's a borderline top 12 or 13 pick in your upcoming fantasy drafts this summer in that offense because he's going to score an F ton of touchdowns.
All right.
With Tom Brady at the helm.
What's funny is I had him on one of my fantasy teams and I cut him.
Right.
Actually cut him. Maybe week four.
Okay.
Because they were using a bunch of different guys. He wasn't doing
Ronald
anything.
Jones in the mix, yeah.
And then he went nuts.
I know. Well, he just went ballistic.
I am, though, interested in Baker, and I kind of root for him. I hope he lands on his feet and does well. For some reason,
mm-hmm.
He's just a guy that I kind of root for.
I think he's kind of a cocky little punk.
He is.
Root for him at all.
But I think
not a fan.
I think he's getting a little bit of an unfair criticism. I mean, a lot of the stuff, yeah, it's not great, but
now I'm praying,
what is he really doing?
Now I'm praying that he goes to drab t-shirts, drab Hawks, just because he's not really that sold on him. And he wants a fresh rebuild.
I like Baker. If Baker was my quarterback, I'd be psyched. I like the arrogance and the swagger that he has if he's on your team.
I like the moxie, too,
yeah, of course. Actually. I just think he's kind of pretty poo-poo.
Right.
Yeah.
So
you just never know. I guess he could be great. He has moments.
He's better than Drew Locke.
Well, I think he is.
You're better than Drew Locke.
All right, let's go to Noel. Is it Noel? I think it's probably Noel.
Or Noel.
Oh, Noel. Hey, how are you?
What's
I thought
Noel?
It was a woman for some reason.
I'm fine. How are you guys?
What's up, Noel?
Hey, I was just, I live down in Irvington, Virginia. I commute up to D.C. to work all the time. I listen to you guys every morning.
Thank you.
And you all started talking about pickleball.
Yes, sir.
And my daughter played soccer in college,
mm-hmm.
and she's a big, big pickleball player.
All right.
She is probably the best women's player in the DMV.
Hold on, pump the brakes. How do you know that? How are you quantifying that?
Well, she's won every tournament around here.
What's her name? Is she on social media anywhere?
Yes, Monica Policelli.
All right, I'm going to find her because I follow a bunch of pickleballers.
Is there a state ranking? Is she ranked anywhere?
She goes to Scottsdale. She goes to Phoenix. She goes to Naples, Florida. She just won a tournament in Fort Lauderdale.
So does she play on that like pickleball tour? Believe it or not, there's like a pickleball tour.
Yes,
I believe it.
The PPA?
Yeah, what is her name? How do you spell the last name?
P is in Paul.
Yeah.
A-O-L-I-C-E-L-L-I.
Oh, I see it. Yeah. All right.
She lives in McLean.
Will she give me lessons?
She loves to play.
Right.
She only plays with men to
right.
get better. She has a women's partner who lives in Charlottesville. When she comes up here, they go to Annapolis and play with a couple guys. One guy's, I think he's in his 50s, and he's number one in the United States in his age group. So she plays with him all the time.
Will she teach me the dink?
Oh, she'd love to play with you guys. She lives in McLean.
How old is she?
Monica, my daughter's 30 years old now.
Oh, okay. She blonde?
Yes.
Blonde lefty?
She's a blonde silly?
She's left-handed, yeah.
Yeah,
and she was in the Pickleball magazine on two-handed.
Right.
She loves to play pickleball. She's getting ready to go to the U.S. Open in Naples, Florida next month.
Best of luck.
I'm telling you, dude, pickleball's all the rage. Have her hit up Drab, and we'll set up a little outing or something. I want some pickleball lessons from her.
Text me. Can you text me your
Yeah, text though.
What are we doing?
Yeah. Get his information.
I distinctly remember before E.D. caught the pickleball bug when I said I wanted to take pickleball lessons. I was joned on mercilessly.
Right, that's all he talks about now.
Now he just wants a million lessons.
I said I would take a lesson from her. Yes.
Hey, when are you going to do a pickle podcast?
I don't know. Could happen.
You should.
It could happen.
Why are you, you should be hosting.
You could
it.
Have national guests on every week.
Yeah, I mean, you know, dude.
Bring back my big pickle productions.
I'm going out of my way. I'm going out of my way on my reels to click on every pickleball thing I can find. So that I'm getting just a million of them popping up.
Well, when you do your pickle pod, you could hire Drab T-Shirt to do commercial reads. Drab T-Shirt now doing live reads on the station.
For good. What? Hey, what? Dump what?
Don't worry about it. Hicks is being dumb right now.
All right. I have no idea what you're talking about. All right, guys. Thompson Creek Designs builds and installs replacement windows without supply chain delays that other window dealers are seeing. You get high-quality windows at an affordable price, installed faster than other window companies. Plus, it's their biggest sale of the year with 25% off all windows and doors, plus no interest until October 2023. See ThompsonCreek.com for details. You get more for your money at Thompson Creek. Call 855-57-CREEK now to take advantage of their biggest sale of the year.
If you want to hit up the Odyssey app, if you missed the early portion of the show with the recap of us at TPC Potomac at Avenel Farm, you can do that. Just get the app on your phone. Do it like 5 minutes ago. At least we didn't have to contend with what the golfers in Florida had to deal with at the Bonita Club, where they encountered
basically a dinosaur,
a massive alligator that was missing, I believe, its right front foot. That was just strolling down the fairway as the golfers are, they're pretty close. I want to say they're within about 20 or 30 yards.
Very casual.
They're acting like it's, you know, like a squirrel running down the fairway instead of a 10-foot long gator that's missing a foot. That's just chilling and taking its sweet time walking the wrong way down the hole. So at least we didn't have to deal with that yesterday.
It's got a monster tail. I think... How much do you think that thing weighs?
Oh, probably
did they estimate?
300 or 400 pounds, I would guess. The big boy.
It looks like it's like 10 to 12 feet long. Actually, no, it's bigger than that. That thing is massive.
I just can't believe more people aren't eaten by alligators. Right, especially down south where they're so prevalent, they're on every golf course.
Yeah,
you know, every little community. Like, little canal or
I mean, it is pretty slow.
Well, if they're
running after you, it's not that slow.
Right. You have to zigzag like you're trying to hide from the sniper.
That's the move. Yes, you have to zigzag from the gators.
Right.
Because they're short, stubby little legs. Not good at changing
direction.
In Hilton
Head, about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, a woman was walking along a little path next to
a lagoon. Right.
And she was standing over the water looking at some of the gators, and a gator snatched her up, pulled her into the lagoon,
right,
and ate her.
Right.
Right.
That happened about 4 years ago.
Right.
True story.
Well, I'll never forget, was it at the Disney spot, right, where they just snatched up the little kid?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That was there just, you know, right on the edge of the hotel.
Yep.
The little sandy area, whatever. Crazy.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often.
I'm shocked it doesn't happen more often, too.
And again, I know I'm bringing up something you guys don't watch, but on Naked and Afraid, when they're traipsing through the jungle,
right,
and there's deadly snakes everywhere, how are they not bitten? And they're wearing nothing, and they're traipsing through that for miles, or they have tigers or lions How are they not all eaten?
I don't know.
Guessing the producer scouted out before, so they
scouted
they know
out on some level. But when they go through uncharted. They're putting their feet. 100% there are snakes.
Well, I was ready to see a snake slithering through the rough yesterday,
right,
in Potomac, Maryland, right, because that rough was thick and deep. It was no joke.
Cakes, everywhere that I'm reading here in a couple articles says, absolutely do not run zigzag on an alligator.
Really?
You're shortening the distance between you and the alligator.
Straight line it.
Yeah, but they're butt fast, too, for about 30 yards.
How fast?
Well, it says they can beat a horse in the first 30 yards.
Wow. So you just need to outlast the
gator.
How do those little ass legs go so fast?
I don't know. They're strong.
Thrust,
man.
I guess.
Huh?
They got some thrust.
So you're basically cooked.
Yeah, if you watch some videos, those things will fly out of the pond.
Yeah.
Well, I see them lurch.
They are no joke.
I see them lurch.
They'll chase you for a little distance.
But then they get exhausted? They don't have the cardio?
I think so.
Probably.
I think so.
I mean, they're so heavy. They can only go so fast.
The animal that I know you're not outrunning is a bear.
Correct.
If you ever see like a YouTube video of a bear at full speed... I mean, there's no need to even attempt running away.
Did you see the video of the bear going into the pig pen?
I did not.
The pig warded it off.
Oh, it did.
How? Yeah.
How?
I don't know.
How big
just
was
being a pig?
Just oinked?
No, it was
rip a few.
It was
farts.
Like a pushing contest.
I don't know. I don't get size for animals.
Well, it just reminds
I like to
me,
eat them.
It reminds me of the gator I saw and down in Bald Head Island off of Wilmington, North Carolina. When you go play golf. When you check into the clubhouse and the pro shop, they'll say, all right, well, watch out for, they named it. Let's just call him Bob.
Right.
Watch out for Bob because he's on this eighth tee box
right,
usually. That's where
spot.
He hangs out.
Yeah.
And I went to the eighth tee box and yes, he was there
right.
And he was massive. And I got pretty close to him because I wanted to get a picture. I was playing by myself though.
Of course you wanted to get a picture.
Of course I had to get
picture
a picture.
I'm from the Super Bowl with the tiger.
I've got it at the house. It's not on my phone. I have it at the house. Of course.
Yeah,
that's a great photo.
Well, remember we played at Bald Head and we went over the green and there was that big ass Bob.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, about 12 footer.
It was huge.
That could have been Bob.
Might have been the biggest one I've ever seen. I know it's the biggest one I've ever seen.
It was
seen.
Just massive.
And it was just right over the hill.
Yeah, but we
like
didn't expect it.
Yeah, I know. It was stunning.
Right.
I was so salty yesterday, by the way. I can't remember what hole it was. Valdez probably can because he has a photographic memory for golf holes.
Right.
But I hit a decent drive. It was cart path aided, by the way. It took probably 40 yards of extra
good,
carry because it was
good.
Bouncing on the cart path. And I had, I don't know, a 75-yard chip shot to an elevated green. Couldn't be an easier shot.
Number right. 13.
Number 13 at TPC Avenel
okay.
at Potomac Farm, whatever the name
all right.
of the course is. And instead of just landing the ball on the green, I shot the ball directly into a bunker, and then I lost... all of my will to live
right,
immediately.
Do you hate? Why you just hate being?
Jake hates golf.
No. I just. I was.
He's really
was,
negative.
No. I was just upset that I'm sitting in a good position and I couldn't. I just couldn't string two decent shots.
You
together.
Play twice a year. What are you talking about?
I know. It just tilted me. Tilted me.
Of course.
When
I mean,
it was happening in the
it's
moment.
It's a tilting sport.
Then I'm blasting out of the sand. Hence, sand
it's
everywhere.
Hard to be
well,
consistent.
I mean, he's hence. Complaining about it. He never plays.
Never. Right.
He actually hit some pretty good shots.
Right.
Okay, well, if he played more in practice, he'd hit
better shots.
I just don't
he
know.
Better
that's
shots
happen.
More often.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But that's the problem. That's why golf stinks, because it's you have to play so much just to maintain. To get better, you have to be borderline insane.
Yeah,
like
that's
Valdez.
Not gonna happen.
It's a lot of work.
It is. It's hard.
It's so much work.
It's a grind.
But I'll never give it up until my body won't let me to play. Won't allow.
I'm about just, there. My body. I need cream.
Lots of
lidocaine. I need all the
canes.
All the anti-inflammatories.
I went to my physical therapist yesterday, and because she's working on my shoulder. Remember, I had the frozen shoulder years
ago.
Yeah. Well, it's not frozen anymore, but it's starting to get
still
painful.
A little chilly.
Starting to feel that way.
Yeah.
Replacement, bro.
She she got in there, man. She was just digging in there. And she had the cream in there. She was hitting this one spot. It hurt so. It hurt good. It hurt so
Did
good.
Did she use that tool?
John Mellencamp?
No. She used her fingers. She's unbelievable. Her fingers are unbelievable.
There was no famous Amos or anything.
No. There was no famous Amos.
No, right, don't ask for that.
He was in a public setting with a bunch of other therapists there.
Okay, right.
Good.
But she was getting in there, man. She was getting in there, and I was just, it took me. I actually screamed once.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Can we get a recreation?
Oh! That's what I said. And all the other therapists were looking over me like, are you okay? That's how bad it hurt.
We're making it all about
were
you.
Were there other noises?
No, it really hurt.
Like lesser, like groanings, like kind of the noises I was making in the MGM National Harbor Hotel room.
No, I was the only
JP
one.
Came in
I was the only one who groaned.
Disrupted my beautiful sleep.
No. So is this the after effects from your fall?
No, it's just getting old and having bad shoulders.
By the way, Cakes groans.
The fall
on
was
his,
my neck.
Cakes groans on his tee shots like tennis players sometimes.
Well, Jake,
oh, yeah, he does do that.
When you hit it 210 down the middle and just crush the ball, of course you have to groan. You have to let it out.
He's like Serena Williams.
He did. Because of my big, long, whooping swing. Bring it back like John Daly. Back here.
He did. Cakes did hit a 6-iron when the rest of us were hitting pitching wedges, and he was he's shorter than all of us.
It was straight, though.
Hey, after he hit that shot, Drab looked at me and he says, write that down for tomorrow.
Why do I feel like Drab's played golf like 10 times his whole life? Is that true?
No, I've played more than that.
You have?
Probably 30 to 50.
When did you play your most?
Oh,
what was
that's
your
a
peak
lot.
Golf season?
A teenager.
Teenager, you played a little bit.
I played like 5 times a summer.
You would?
Yeah.
He smoked some drives.
I know. I mean, he's got a decent swing for someone that rarely plays. Meanwhile, Cakes has played for 40 years.
I mean, I didn't keep track, but at one point I heard him
play for 40.
At one point I heard Drab like puff his chest that he outdrove Valdez on like 3 of 5 holes. Like
I definitely outdrove Valdez a couple times.
He outdrove me on was
probably
14.
I'll be honest. I was just trying to show off for Chick Hernandez.
Right? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
It's probably when Valdez just didn't, crush one.
Chick's got a nice lefty stroke.
He's a good player.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Yeah.
He loves the cigar.
Certainly does.
He was gnawing on that thing for about 16 holes.
Only one? Or did he have it lit? Been... Or was he just doing a sunny and just
chew? Oh, it was lit.
Yeah.
It was full-on lit.
I think he told me.
Does he like to have cocktails?
He had a Cuban, I believe. He had a silly.
How many cocktails?
Like
did you
I
guys
played
have
with a
total,
couple guys.
Total between.
I had one IPA.
They didn't want to pay for any drinks.
But I brought like a 6-pack.
There's like 10 beers, and there was like 2 left over.
I didn't notice you had the music cranking.
That is true.
I know
that.
It's
kind of tilting.
Yeah, Drab was like
Serenity. I like to hear the birds.
I mean, how many times do I hear
birds
round and round?
I like birds.
Round and round.
It played 4 times.
Round and round played 4 times.
4 times.
That's such a lie. That's such a lie.
The more rat, the better during the round. All right, we gotta get out of here. We're done. B. Mitch and Finley. They're coming up next, right here on 106.7 The Fan. Later, Rickies.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.